Headlines.
From Washington, D.C., the capital of the divided states of America, it's time for the show that brings you both sides of the issues that really matter. On the right, I am investigative reporter and Republican Lee Stranahan.
And on the left, I'm political analyst and progressive Democrat Garland Nixon.
You're listening to the most disruptive talk show in America. It's Fault Lines with Nixon and Stranahan. We have a big show for you today. In round one, a massive cyber attack hit 150 countries, affecting transit, hospitals, students, businesses, and every other aspect of life throughout Europe, Russia, China, and more. But the worst part? It may have been caused by an exploit that U.S. intelligence agencies held on to. Is U.S. policy responsible for the cyber attack? Does the blame go to the software companies, or is it all on the hackers themselves? Then in round two, we'll turn to foreign policy with the situation in North Korea. The White House says there is a definite threat, and based on their latest missile launch, I think everyone agrees with that. How do you solve a problem like Korea? That was a Sound of Music reference. Did you get that one,
yes,
Garland? Okay, there we go. Thanks very much. Then in round three, billionaire financier globalist George Soros spent big bucks in 2016 trying to change the criminal justice system, and guess what? He did it by putting money into state and local elections. It's already paid off in Florida, where the state's attorney refused to go for the death penalty in the case of a cop killer. It's police week right now. Flags are at half-mast all around Washington, D.C., and we will be looking at how George Soros affected law enforcement. That's all coming up on today's episode of Fault Lines with Nixon and Stranahan. Welcome to the show, everybody. By the way, I got to point out that you can watch us, in case just listening is not enough for you. But you're like, what do these guys look like? I wonder. I'm fascinated based on their voices. I don't know why you'd say that, but let's assume you said that, right? You can go to Facebook Live right now and watch us. And by the way, if it's not live, you can watch it later.
That's right. Just go to the Sputnik News Facebook page.
That's right.
And
there you
there
go.
It is. Or
and
you can go ahead.
It's nice. It's a multi-camera shoot.
Yes, it is.
It's a multi-camera shoot. It's fancy. That's why it's so bright in here.
The colors are good. The sound is awesome. It's really good. It's just like watching a TV show with Lee and I, except you might actually learn something.
That's right. So it's just like TV, but you learn things.
Exactly.
That's right.
Which means it's not like TV. If you're
it's completely different
to the normal
than TV, then.
Yeah, exactly.
So as I was coming into D.C. this morning across the Potomac, I noticed that flags were – it was really early, Garland, by the way. I came in like 7 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock, something like that. I was up early. And I saw the flags were flying at half-mast. I went over to the White House to do a stand-up over there for Next News Network, who I do stuff for. And so I asked the police. I'm like, maybe I missed something in the news. Did – you know, I don't want to get eerie, but there's the Deadpool thing. And I flashed in my head who could be gone.
Right, yeah, certainly.
There's a few – we have a few presidents who – ex-presidents who, you know, are getting on in their years.
Yeah, quite as young as these.
So I asked the Secret Service agents what – and they pointed out that it's police week, that the flags are down at half-mast all around. Of course, the president today did that. And so it's worth noting there is kind of a somber thing going on, even though it's a beautiful day here in D.C. It is a bit somber with police week, and we'll be talking about a big story related to that in the third segment that you won't want to miss. But let's talk about the cyber attacks first, Garland.
The WannaCry cyber attack.
The what?
WannaCry. Isn't that the name of the application that they used?
Yeah, that sounds right.
WannaCry, yeah.
That sounds – I wasn't quite sure what you were saying there for a second.
Yeah.
I thought you said the cyber attacks made you want to cry. Which you, as a progressive, a lot of things make you want to cry,
that
I assume.
That didn't make me want to cry. The Care Bears movie made me want to cry, okay, because I watched it with my daughter. But no, the cyber attack, because I use Mac, and luckily for me, it didn't hit me.
And by the way, we got to point out that Garland, even though he's a progressive and apparently a crybaby, even though he's that, he's also former law enforcement.
Yes,
so we want to thank you for your service on Police Week as well. I just want to acknowledge that. And we'll get into that later. So here's the weird thing about this cyber attack. So the president of Microsoft came out and said, and it seems to be the case. So this cyber attack was huge, right? It hit, and you know what was interesting about it, it started on Friday, and it hit a lot of things throughout the weekend. There were, for instance, in England.
But he didn't actually come out. You got to watch how you say that. He actually spoke on the issue. He came out, could be interpreted
in a
different way.
Oh, I see. That's right.
Way.
Yes. Yeah. It's a new world we live
in.
Yeah,
exactly.
So the cyber attack was interesting because it hit on a Friday, and a lot of stuff hit on the weekend. For instance, in England, hospitals had to turn away patients. But then, because of the nature of it, a lot of it kind of waited until Monday morning when people turned on their computers for the first time at work. You see?
Yep.
So there was kind of a delayed reaction on this, but it's 150 countries, by the way, including Russia, in case you were going to blame Russia. In case the mainstream media has just
CNN,
made
MSNBC will know that. Well, I'm sure Louise Mensch will say it was actually Vladimir Putin himself. Putin. Why do I always do that? It's actually Vladimir Putin. If you go to Louise Mensch's blog, guarantee that President Putin is the culprit here.
Yes.
Even though Russia was hit.
Now, I'm waiting for Louise Mensch to say that you're President Putin, actually, Garland. That's what I'm waiting. It's going to come.
She'll say the two haven't been seen in the same room, so think about it.
That is true. That is true. So this cyber attack, though, the thing that the president of Microsoft said, and I thought it was interesting coming from him. Now, by the way, Microsoft is in part responsible for this, I think, because they knew about this exploit that allowed the hack for a while. But that Vault 7 thing that WikiLeaks released, It seems like U.S. intelligence agencies were holding on to this exploit. Why? Because they wanted to use it.
Yeah.
Now, is that – maybe it's me. Is it me? That seems really screwed up.
the word that comes to mind to me is irresponsible.
Yeah.
You know, because They're kind of weighing the interest. And I think that's why, you know, if you look at what the president of Microsoft said, you can see that he was not happy. He said an equivalent scenario with conventional weapons would be the U.S. military having some of its Tomahawk missiles stolen. Because what happened here was, and this is what we're seeing, and this is why I think, again, WikiLeaks is important, because what we found out a month or two ago from WikiLeaks was that the CIA, that the U.S. intelligence services, were creating these malicious programs, these malware programs. But once they created them, they lost control of them, and out they went into cyberspace for all of the cyber criminals to use. And it appears that this is what happened here, that the NSA found some kind of a way to get in, found something that they could exploit, a hole in the Windows program. And they created an application that could exploit that. Now, it appears that at some point it must have been shared with Microsoft because they came up with a patch. And then there's some other issues because a lot of companies didn't institute the patch. And there are a lot of other issues going on here. But the long and short of it was that The question that comes up here is, and it was a question I think that WikiLeaks created. They didn't say anything. They just released that. And that is, when the U.S. or any other government is finding ways to exploit software that criminals could also use, that they are creating these Frankenstein monster softwares that, you know, what Frankenstein does, you create a monster, he's always going to come back, lift up over his head, and toss you out the window. That if you're a Frankenstein monster, that's what you do. You come back and you kill the guy that created you. And so the question that we have to ask ourselves is it responsible for our intelligence agencies to be creating these monsters as opposed to finding ways to stop them?
Well, I think I can answer that and say no. I think pretty clearly I can answer that one and say no. Now the trick is, of course, you know, we're going to create a certain amount of this stuff for cyber warfare against other countries, which, well, let's talk about that for a second, too. Because we don't talk about that, really.
Right.
With this idea, you know, again, if you listen to the mainstream media for the past few months, you'd think that the Russians are the only people ever who do cyber hacking, as opposed to – no, I didn't – correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe I got this wrong. But do I remember distantly that the Obama administration had bugged Angela Merkel's phone?
Yeah.
Did I dream that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And the Brits, I think, had bugged her too, or someone. The MI5, or something, I think they got caught. But this is what they do.
Years ago.
Yeah, this is what they do. Well, see, here's the thing about it, Lee, though. And that is, and I think, you know what the concern of a lot of Americans is? A lot of the concern that a lot of Americans have is that...
Is Frankenstein?
I'm going around Robin Hood's barn to get there. And that is the issue of security, because a lot of Americans, you know, and Rand Paul is one who has spoken a lot on this. you know, as a guy who's been out front on this as a Republican, as a libertarian conservative, and that is that a lot of this stuff, unfortunately, is used on Americans, that there's this data mining, that there's this constantly looking into what people are doing. And you know, a lot of people don't understand that within the Constitution, it's not the your right to privacy is not specifically expressed. It's kind of implied by a number of, you know, court decisions and things that are all put together. So you don't specifically, you're not going
to. There's no constitutional right to privacy.
It's not, it's not specific. It's not specified. It's considered implied by a number of things. But people are concerned because the fact of the matter is when the Constitution was written, you know, they had to put their ear against the window. Now the ability to get into someone's email, to listen to people, now we're finding they can listen to you through your television. It's gotten to a point where I think a lot of Americans are concerned that we, you know, Big Brother is real, that we don't really have any privacy. And how this connects, I think, is that now the government is looking for, is finding ways that someone could get into our computer that they should be using to help to protect us. And instead, they're seeing it as an opportunity to be able to take advantage of us and everyone else. And where do the interests of protecting Americans' privacy and protecting Americans from computer attacks, where do they outweigh, you know, the need to go out and snoop in everybody else's, you know, systems around the world?
Well, here, by the way, I'm just going to mention one quick footnote here. Is that you mentioned Rand Paul. It should be pointed that, you know, we talked on Friday about this new push by the Department of Justice under Trump to increase sentences and get tougher on the drug war, basically to bring back the drug war. And I'm just going to do a quick footnote and point out that Rand Paul did come out today and say he's opposed to that.
He's been against the drug war and mandatories. Yeah. He's been very strong on that. He's a libertarian on a lot of this stuff.
Rand Paul is a consistent libertarian, which is why when you go after Rand Paul and you say that he doesn't actually believe in a straight repeal, the dude does. He really does. And I know some of Rand Paul's people. The dude really does believe in that. But I don't want to get off on a tangent. I just thought it's worth mentioning since we talked about it on Friday.
He's one of the few consistent politicians, and there ain't many of them left.
Well, and
I don't agree with him on a lot of things, but you know, have you ever noticed this? It's just like Bernie, and that is there are a lot of people who oppose certain politicians, but they respect the person who stands for principle.
That's right. You know, no, and I think that's the key thing. There's stuff I don't agree with on Rand. I was not a straight repeal person because I don't think it's politically tenable. That being said, I know where he comes down. I'm always going to defend him as a principled politician, which is, as you point out, very, very, very rare. It's almost an oxymoron. And by that, I'm calling most politicians morons. That's really what I'm getting at there. So the point
– and hooked on OxyContin.
Exactly. Yeah, you said that, not me. By the way, any lawyers listening, that was Garland saying that. I just call them morons, which is puffery, and I can get away with. Now, here's the thing about this cyber attack situation. I think it also points out something very interesting that's a sort of public service that Wikipedia does. And – it's why we the people like Wikipedia and why they drive politicians crazy. Like I understand, I really do, I completely understand if you're the intelligence agencies why you want to drone. You remember when Hillary Clinton said she wanted to drone Julian Assange?
Yeah. She probably wants to drone me by now.
And it was also a joke.
Yeah,
it was
right.
A joke. Well, yeah, maybe if you talk about it. You had an appearance on Fox News this weekend, right?
Yes, I did.
Did you say anything about Hillary?
No.
Okay.
I don't want to get on the kill list, pal.
That's right. Yeah,
mama didn't raise no fools.
That's right. Garland was the guest on Fox News this weekend. You might have caught him there. But I think this shows why Wikipedia is so dangerous to the deep state, because Wikipedia will reveal things like the fact that the government – and I guess here's what I'd like. And maybe I'm asking too much, and I understand that. I'm probably asking too much. Can we have a discussion about some of this stuff? Like, can we as people, as citizens, have a discussion about it? Because, again, I've noticed this. This is the thing. Since I've been living in Washington since January, I've really noticed that inside the Beltway, I've noticed when I'm at the White House briefing rooms, they ask questions about everything but what the people think. They really do. It's really weird to me. They don't seem to care what people think. They don't seem to care what Trump supporters think. They don't seem to care what grassroots
There's an echo
Democrats
chamber, you know, between the politicians and the media. And they go back and forth each other, and then they come up with a premise, but they never consult the people who are going to be affected the most. You know, the president of Microsoft said a couple of things. In fact, here's what he said. The governments of the world should treat this attack as a wake-up call. They need to take a different approach and adhere in cyberspace to the same rules applied to weapons in the physical world. We need governments to consider the damage to civilians that comes from hoarding these vulnerabilities and the use of these exploits. And that's a fact of the matter. And it's what Lee is saying. We don't get a voice in that now. What we are now told is that the CIA, and most people don't know this, the NSA was, they were the ones with all the computer stuff. They did it all. The CIA now has a computer section that rivals the NSA, that may be as big, if not, you know, and as an elaborate, or it's moving in that direction as the CIA. The fact of the matter is, with these black ops budgets, we have no way of knowing. We can't find out through Congress how much they get. But now it's turned in. What we have is a country where, you know, people are afraid of the deep state. I think this is just another indication to us that our intelligence services may be out of control. You know, I read articles every day, and I think this is related. I read articles every day about.
Are you bragging? Is that what you're doing right now? You're bragging.
Yes, I actually read every day. I read there articles that. That imply or infer that some people feel that the deep state is trying to take out the president. And while I am no fan of Trump, he won. And I do not want to see the NSA or the CIA or any deep state. You know, your democracy is in a world of trouble, and ours is already in a world of trouble. But it's in a world of trouble when you have to be afraid and concerned that the intelligence agencies are going to find a way to remove the president. And I read things where people say I'm all in favor of that. That concerns me.
Well, it should be. I mean, there's not a question in the world. That guy, remember Evan McMullen, the guy who was running in one state as a spoiler against Trump, the Republican, mm-hmm. who's an ex-CIA guy, who, by the way, I got to point out, a few weeks ago, I did Don Lemon's show on CNN, mm-hmm. and who was in the waiting room green room, but Evan McMullen. So I said hi.
I'm not saying I know that, but you see the articles, don't you?
He's an ex-CIA guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still out there adamantly as a never Trump guy. So there's one example of an ex-CIA guy. We see this all the time. It's not even hidden in some cases. The intelligence agencies really aren't big fans of Trump. And so some of this idea, it's not conspiratorial. Some of the idea that they want to take out Trump is very, very clear. And again, I think it relates to Syria, because we know that's the CIA, the people doing the fighting in Syria. And during the election, and I'll tell you, I think this is why Steve Bannon's very frightening to them, because Steve Bannon's not a controllable guy. Look, there is the establishment, and the establishment includes Democrats, Hillary Clinton, Republicans, John McCain.
Media and on and on.
And media and institutions like the CIA. Now, that does not say every CIA agent is bad, obviously. That does not mean anything like that. But what it means is there are people who are heavily invested in, number one, not letting the American people know what's going on, and two, in maintaining the status quo that is going on just below the surface. So there you go.
Yeah, it's a scary situation. You know, the way I say to remove Trump, do it in 2020. Put somebody up that can beat him. How about that for a change?
Yeah, well, they tried that. They threw everything they had to against him, and they couldn't beat him in 2016. Coming up, we'll be talking about North Korea in the next segment of Fault Lines with Nixon and Stranahan.
Fault Lines. Lines.
Welcome to round two on Fault Lines with Nixon and Stranahan here on Radio Sputnik. North Korea's missile test on Sunday was the country's most successful yet, according to analysts who say they may now have a weapon capable of hitting a key U.S. military base in the Pacific, Guam to be specific. But Lee, you've got a quick correction you want to make from the last round. Is that right?
I do, Garland.
All righty.
So apparently in the first round, I meant to say WikiLeaks,
uh-huh.
Julian Assange's group, and apparently I said Wikipedia, which is the encyclopedia where you can make stuff up.
Oh, okay.
Those two things are different, I got to point out, but they both involve the word wiki.
Yes.
So in my defense, Wiki's a weird thing to call something, and therefore that's what I got.
And there's everything now. There's all kind of Wiki stuff out there.
Anytime I said Wikipedia, I meant WikiLeaks. I meant WikiLeakia. WikiLeaks. Julian Assange's WikiLeaks.
Fantastic, man. So for those of you who thought he might have meant Wikipedia, we know. So that brings a couple of things. So North Korea, and this is why, and this is what I'm going to, why I'm going to, it may seem unrelated, but really quick, I'll get to the issue of regime change. So North Korea's, this is considered a provocation, and you know, this is, you're North Korea, that's what you do. You know, every chance you get, you fire a missile, you do something to totally freak people out, right? Sean Spicer said, let this latest provocation serve as a call for all nations to implement far stronger sanctions against North Carolina. North Korea.
Okay, we're even now. Yeah, thank God, we're even now.
The North Carolina Wikipedia, but South Korea's near. But at any rate,
by the way, if we launch a missile attack against North Carolina, it's your fault. I'm just saying. I'm not judging.
No, actually, I think Sean Spicer wants to implement stronger sanctions against North Carolina, and I'm all for that. And why I don't know, but I'm all for it because I don't live in North Carolina. All right, so let's talk about it. I'm always, when I talk about North Korea, I go back to regime change. So they've got a missile that could hit a U.S. base in Guam, apparently. So they fired it on this, like, really steep trajectory so it wouldn't go far enough to hit anything. But it's obvious that had they made the trajectory a little bit lower, it could have gotten far enough to hit. We've got our huge bases in Guam. Now, here's what I think.
Yeah, but it's your boy pointed out, it went significantly higher than any other missile they've ever had. Significantly.
It's demonstrated that their capabilities have increased. And here's what I think. My thoughts go back. When I talk to North Korea, it always goes back to our regime change policies. And I think that's what created this. I think we provoked this act. We provoked part of this action. I'm going to tell you why.
Oh, my God.
Because no country with nukes has ever been invaded. And I think North Korea looks at this, and particularly when we tried to send a fleet over that didn't exactly find North Korea. I think that ended up off the coast of North Carolina. But whatever the case, when we went to send our beautiful armada over there and it didn't work, I think they look at it and they say, we have to scare people. If America doesn't believe that we can nuke them, that we can take them out, they're going to nuke us and take us out. So I think we bear some responsibility based on our boisterous talk, based on sending armadas allegedly over there, or at least trying to, and based on regime change for provoking these people. Well, Lee, I'm going to let you attack that one. I threw that one right down the middle of the plate, so take a shot at it.
You did, because you did the thing progressives always do, which is they blame America for everything. So it was a good, well done. You know what I mean? You can't say that Kim Jong-un is responsible for his own behavior. Right. You can't actually call him out. And the fact that he's been doing this and the North Korean regime has actually been trouble for decades and decades and decades. It's got to be Trump and the armada. No.
No, not really. It's regime change. That's what I'm saying. It's not the armada. It's the regime change policy that makes people think they have to protect themselves from the madness of America going trying to take other leaders out.
No. Well, here's A. Some regime should be changed. That's A. Now, is it our?
I can think of one.
is it our job to do it? I don't think it's our job to do it. And I think in some cases, we shouldn't be involved in things. That being said, and I've said this before, and I'm real consistent on this point, North Korea is an active threat on the world stage, period. There's just no other way to say it. And we've been talking about this for weeks now, Garland, and you seem, every time it comes up, you seem to be in denial about North Korea's threat. A lot of times I can't even get you to admit, and you just did it again, that North Korea is the actual threat here. It's like, I understand, again, you're a progressive Democrat. You want to blame Trump for everything. Okay, I get it. Yeah, I understand. That's the way it goes. But in fact, here's what's going on. Kim Jong-un is dangerous. And the reason he's dangerous is he's unstable in the sense that he's threatened China. Let's talk about that. That happened last week. His only ally, he went after China. And here's what's so irritating, and I pointed this out before. Kim Jong-un actually has a great situation right now. If he could keep his finger off the missile button, his pudgy little finger off the missile button, he has a new president in South Korea who wants unification. Moon wants, not yet, unification's pushing it. He wants better relationship. He wants a better relationship.
He has used that term, reunification. I think he has.
Yeah, he may. I don't want to put words in his mouth. But clearly, he wants better relations. I don't want to overstate it. So he clearly wants better relations with North Korea. You've got China in a good position, and you even had Donald Trump, for gosh sakes, a couple of weeks ago, kind of sucking up to Kim Jong-un, saying, hey, I'd like to meet with, I think he called him a sharp cookie, I think is the phrase
he said he'd
he
be honored, at least. He said he'd be honored to meet with him.
He may have used, I don't think he said this, he may have said he's a fortune cookie, which would be racist and wrong. That would be horrible if he said that. But I think he said sharp cookie.
But, well, he got some heat, whatever the case, for even saying he'd be honored to meet him.
Yeah,
because people said you'd be honored to meet this guy for whatever
But
reason.
That's my point. Trump actually did say that. After some saber rattling, including the Armada thing, after some saber rattling, Trump came out and said that. And I think part of it was, and I'm going to say this, and Trump may not like it, and I'm sure he's listening. But Trump, I think, got some pushback from China, right? Saying Ilche Ouche on the North Korea name.
People were getting really scared. People were getting really jumpy. I agree with that.
And because we have a relationship with China that a lot of, I'm going to be honest, I'm not thrilled with it. And a lot of Trump supporters, it's not what they expected. But it seems like we have a fairly productive relationship with China.
Goldman Sachs sure does.
No.
Kushner have a very financially productive relationship with China.
If you could prove that, that'd be nice. I have my suspicions, but what we know for sure is that this new deal opens up cattle, beef exports to China, natural gas exports to China. We talked about this on Friday.
Yeah.
And it's a more business-like relationship. It is not a saber-rattling relationship with China right now. So I think China was trying to get North Korea to chill out. Now, the threat of this missile launch is that because it was successful, because it went over 2,500 kilometers, I don't know the metric system.
I think that's 25 yards.
I think so.
I can throw in football.
I think that's approximately right.
I can throw
right.
football that far.
That's
that
right.
far.
But 2,500 kilometers is much higher than they've ever sent a missile before. Now North Korea, by the way, is thrilled. North Korea is absolutely thrilled with this. And they're saying, and by the way, this is subtle on their part, but I know you're going to blame Trump for this. Now North Korea is saying that they have a missile that can hit the United States with a nuclear weapon. Do you agree with them saying that, Garland?
I don't think that. But the fact
wait. Will you condemn North Korea for saying that they have a nuclear weapon that can hit? Because here's the thing. We're not saying it, but, hey, North Korea, the United States definitely has some nuclear weapons that could hit you,
exactly.
by the way.
Yes.
Just so you know, by the way, we're not talking about
that. Well, it does appear that they have one that could hit a major base at Guam. And let's face it, they could throw a rock and hit a huge bases with like 50,000 soldiers
they might,
in South Korea.
They might.
So they
now,
could,
if
certainly.
I can fact check Korea, North Korea for a second, their missile could hit, let's say, San Francisco, but they said it could hit America.
I don't think it can. And I don't think it can get much out. I think Guam is about it.
I would disagree. Okay, but will you condemn North Korea saying that? Will
you say, make you feel good. I don't think they're sitting around saying, oh, my God. I don't think Pyongyang's going to have a meeting, that the leader's going to have a meeting of his closest advisors as soon as they find out that I've condemned them. Oh, my gosh.
Will you do it? I'm just curious. Can you do that?
We must circle the wagons
can
and
you,
get,
can
figure
you do
out
that,
what we're going to do. Yes, I strongly condemn North Korea for saying they have a missile that can hit us, even though they don't have one.
And who did you say would not be listening to this?
Who did I say would not be? North Korea?
You said who. Never mind. You said who.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Okay, so but the long and short of it is this. I think there's a couple of things going on. I still believe that right now we're in a good position because there is a new president in South Korea who's been making some overtures. Now I'm big on statements. So he has made a statement and he did say he promised to pursue negotiations and engagements with Pyongyang. However, he said after this meeting that dialogue is possible only when North Korea changes its behavior. So clearly he understands that on the world stage that he has to condemn things like this. But I still feel as though, because there's an opportunity here with the new South Korean president to maybe make some changes that haven't been made before, to maybe get some inroads, that the U.S. would be far better, since what we're doing hasn't been working, to step aside a little bit and to allow South Korea and China to work on this. You know, a while back, China actually, I think it was this maybe March, China actually made a, I wouldn't call it a peace proposal, but a start of a proposal for actions where, and I have it here, I actually printed it out somewhere, but I'll probably lose it. Okay, so what they said was, here's what they proposed. That North Korea would freeze nuclear and missile programs in exchange for a halt to major military exercises by American and South Korean forces. Because what we continually do, yes, they're doing provocations, but what we're also doing is we're kind of needling North Carolina a little bit. Why do I keep saying North Carolina? What do I have against North Carolina?
I don't know.
It's great. My mom's from North Carolina. I don't want to nuke North Carolina. And no sanctions against North Carolina. How's that? I got relatives there. Okay, so
I really do feel a lot better about the Wikipedia WikiLeaks thing now.
That
I really,
gone from
I really do.
North Korea to North Carolina, North Dakota. At any rate, Oliver North, I don't know. So basically, they wanted, what China proposed was freeze nuclear and missile programs in exchange for halt to major military exercises by American and South Korean forces along their border. And the U.S. and South Korea both rejected it, but that was under the last South Korean president. Here's why I think it may not work. Those say that may not work at all, but here's what I think.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's not going to work, but keep going.
I think that the U.S. and South Korea should say, you know what? That sounds good. And let's see what North Korea has to say about it. Not North Carolina. We don't know want to know what they have to say about it. Let's see what North Korea has to say about it for this reason. Because it's a start. If we can get them to say yes to something, if we can get on a yes track, if we say, because let's face it, what do we have to lose? If we stop doing military exercises along the border of North Korea, it's not like we're going to forget. It's not like our pilots are going to go, oh my gosh, I forgot how to fly a plane. I haven't flown along the border of North Korea. No. So I think we should say, sure, you know what? We're willing to engage in talks on these things. We'll do it and see what North Korea does. Give them at least the opportunity and start on some kind of talks instead of just standing off at a distance and always saying they're the bad guys. They're never going to do anything right. We're the good guys. We're always going to do everything right. If they're not going to cooperate, I think we should give them the opportunity to cooperate or not cooperate on the world stage. If you want to get people to join in on sanctions and things of that nature, I think you have to at least go along with some kind of a proposal to see if they'll act as rational actors on the world stage.
Okay, well, I have two important points to make here. Number one, I'm going to help you, Garland. I'm going to help you distinguish between North Korea and North Carolina. Okay, ready? So here's the way it goes. North Carolina and North Korea both have barbecue, but only one of them has meat.
Oh,
does that help?
Perfect.
You see what I'm saying? That
exactly.
Would be North Carolina. So they both have barbecue, but one of them has meat and the other one has wish barbecue. So there's the first part. Second part.
I can't drive to North Korea?
No.
Can't drive. I-95 doesn't
part,
run through North Korea.
Let me tell you what your wishful thinking, unicorn, progressive, fantasy land foreign policy. Let me talk about it for a second. What it reminds me of is one of those situations where you find yourself sometimes where you're in public and you see a parent with their child out and the child is throwing a fit. The child is like throwing himself on the ground, and I'm going to use a gender pronoun, him. I'm going to call it a him. Could be a girl, but in this case, it's a him. Where you see the parent, you see the kid throwing a fit, they're throwing a tantrum, they're running up and down, and everyone's kind of looking to the parent to go, hey, you know, are you going to chill out your kid there? And occasionally you get these parents who just sort of smile weakly and shrug their shoulders like, hey, you know, what am I going to do? It's a kid. It's kids. They just do stuff like that. And everybody else is going, can you please settle your kid down? You know, people don't want to say that. The idea that North Korea, well, if the U.S. just backs off, that, again, it's based on this fantasy land, Howard Zinn fever dream, that somehow the United States is responsible for every bad thing in the world. And I disagree with that completely. In fact, someone needs to be an adult. And the fact is, when the Trump administration, and I agreed with this, when the Trump administration stepped up and said all options are the table, it was the equivalent of saying, look, we've tried timeouts with you. We've tried being nice to you. Guess what? You may get a spanking. That's what that was about. And at a certain point, if your kids keep acting out, unless you're willing to say, you know what? At the point at which you start grabbing your sister's hair and hitting her, I'm going to hit you back. And that's what we're dealing with North Korea. This is a country that is actively threatening other people in the Korean Peninsula, including our allies, South Korea, including our allies, Japan, including our semi-ally, China now, and including threatening the United States. And someone has to step in and be the adult in the room. And the only way we have any leverage is not by going full Obama wimpazoid, which is like what you're calling. You're saying Obama was too tough. And I'm saying no. Weakness has consequences, and we're dealing with the consequences right now. North Korea, let me be real clear on this. North Korea needs other people. This is a country that's been unable to feed its own people. Under the first bit of its history, they were able to feed the people with the help of the Soviet Union. After the Soviet Union said, we don't want to pour money into you anymore, they couldn't feed their own people. They need us more than we need them. And if the only thing they have is threats, they're a bully, and there's only one way to deal with bullies, and that's your strength.
Two things. Number one, you know, I think that the United States clearly is not responsible for everything in the bad thing in the world. But number two, U.S. is not responsible for fixing every bad thing in the world. So, yes, they're threatening our allies. But why don't we let the countries in the – so who's bordering North Carolina?
God. Garland, I help. Wait. Let's go over this again.
Think of an elephant.
Who has meat?
North Korea.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
Garland,
China's got
so
all
close.
Of our beef. China's got all of our beef now. We don't
that's
have
right.
beef. That's for
exactly
sure. China's
right.
got it off. Trump gave it all the time. But at any rate, but the bottom line is this. I think that, you know, I agree. We've got allies and semi-allies and economic allies in that area. And how about this? How about maybe it ain't our kid? How about we listen to our allies in the area that say, look, U.S., look. This is our peninsula. This is our area.
Which allies?
This is our neighborhood, South Korea and China.
Well,
and they
how
say,
about Japan?
How about we can handle
how
it,
How about
man,
Japan?
Dude. Japan's not on the Korean Peninsula.
Yeah,
they are. How about we let them handle their own kids and we watch it and take care of ours?
Well, look. We have 8 years of failed Obama foreign policy on this. Let's hope Trump administration can turn it around.
You're listening to Radio Sputnik. We will be back for round three. You're listening to Fault Lines with Nixon and Stranahan.
Fault Lines. Fault Lines.
We are back with the final round of Fault Lines with Nixon and Stranahan. You're listening to Radio Sputnik, and you can catch us live at Facebook Live if you want to watch some radio. You can watch it. Multi-camera production over there at the Sputnik channel on Facebook.
Just go to Sputnik News Facebook page.
Billionaire financier George Soros, billionaire left-wing financier George Soros, spent millions in the 2016 election. And it's paid off for him. And we know Soros, by the way, the people on the right. Let me ask you this, Garland. I know what people on the right think of Soros, which is Andrew Breitbart, my friend Andrew Breitbart, once described him as a actual supervillain, right? And, I mean, this is a guy who—
Which is odd because I've often described Andrew Breitbart as an actual supervillain.
Well—
God rest his soul.
Let's point out a couple differences. George Soros apparently collaborated with the Nazis. Let's start there. George Soros is the guy who broke the Bank of England, something Andrew Breitbart never did. He's a currency manipulator, and he's also responsible—
Don't ask Trump. He'll back off on calling him a currency manipulator. You know, he's not much on that. But candidate Trump was opposed to currency manipulators, but— President Trump doesn't acknowledge their existence.
Unfortunately, there are some Soros connections in the White House right now through Jared Kushner and Steven Mnuchin, but I digress. But Soros is one of the big institutional left funders. Open Societies Foundation, formerly Open Societies Institute, has spent millions, tens of millions of dollars funding every whacked out left-wing cause, including the Black Lives Matter movement, including community organizing projects. And
what a whacked out cause, community organizing projects. Imagine what kind of a maniac would ever finance something like that. But go ahead.
Those of us who actually understand the danger of Alinsky-style community organizing and how it acts as a shadow government destroying Western culture with leftivism, yeah, we agree with you. Community organizing is indeed awful and evil. But I digress. So what Soros did, and here's the thing. Whatever I said about Soros, I don't call him dumb. The dude's not dumb. The dude is a genius. I will say that for him. This is why he's a supervillain. First off, he's an economic genius. He's literally come up with economic theories. He's an economic theorist. By the way, he's also got a God complex, and he said this. He said he's got a Messiah complex, or he's from youth. He sort of sees himself as God.
So then he's pretty much a normal billionaire, that's the way I put it. He's just a routine billionaire, a God complex.
He did it. He had it from youth before he was a billionaire. He's a fascinating guy. He is. He's a fascinating guy. But that's why I say he's like a Bond supervillain in the fact that he is a genius. But what he did in the 2016 election, he's funded a lot of big stuff nationally. But what he realized was when you get at a state and municipal level, you see, there's a couple ways to try to manipulate policy on law and order, which is his goal is to destroy law and order in America.
That's, of course.
Right.
Because that's what evil supervillains do.
Well, that's exactly right. And we're in agreement so far. So he realized that by trying to push policy initiatives on a national level, you can do that. But the value rate ratio, in other words, the cost-benefit analysis is better if you – because, again, he's an economic genius – if you do it on a local level. Because a lot of these local races for district attorney, for state's attorney, people spend, you know, $1,000 or $2,000 on these. You know what I'm talking
Registrar
about.
Registrar of wills. They spend nothing.
They spend nothing. Exactly right. So Soros realized that personnel is policy and that if you put people in at a low level – And by the way, I mean low level compared to national level.
Exactly,
that's all I mean, municipal and state level. You can spend $30,000 in a race, and he did that, for instance, in New Mexico. The Republican who was running quit. He literally quit. Now, what he did was interesting was he put in place all – everyone he put in was minority, which is interesting, black or Hispanic. Just interesting that he would go and do it that way. And one of the people he put in was a woman named Aramis – Ayala. She's now the state attorney in Florida. And Soros spent a bunch of money there. Now, there was a case recently, a man named Lloyd killed his ex, brutal crime, murdered his ex-girlfriend, allegedly, let's be real clear, allegedly. He allegedly murdered. There was an alleged manhunt of a week for this guy. He allegedly murdered his ex-girlfriend, allegedly murdered their unborn child, and allegedly killed a cop, leading to an alleged week-long manhunt where they allegedly caught him. And now he should – look, if ever a guy was allegedly deserving of the death penalty, it would allegedly be this guy. So I think we're covered with that. But this woman who Soros put into place, Ayala – Aramis Ayala came out and she said she's not only not going to pursue the death penalty against Lloyd, but that she's not going to ever pursue the death penalty against anybody. Score one for George Soros, score nothing for the people of Florida. Now, Rick Scott, the Republican governor, who had, by the way, already put in, he'd already made it harder. Just a week before she did the press conference, Rick Scott had made it harder to give someone the death penalty in Florida. He said you need an unanimous jury decision. Instead, what happened is she comes and says she's never going to do it. So Rick Scott goes to replace her because he's like, let's let the jury decide. Now, here's the disgusting thing that she did, especially from Police Week. Members of the Orlando Police Department who'd lost one of their own, a policewoman shot and killed allegedly by this guy Lloyd, wrote to Ayala and said, we think the jury should make a decision. We don't like this decision. She didn't even show them the respect, Garland, of writing them back. What she did, and we know this because there's been some great investigative reporting down there, by TV6 in Central Florida. A guy named Michael DeForest has done a great job down there. We know from looking at her text message, she wouldn't answer the police. This gutless woman down there, this gutless Soros plant, who's the state attorney, wouldn't talk to the police. But instead, this gutless woman talked to the leftist activist and said to them, hey, how do I handle this Soros question? This is literally something she said in text. She said, tell me, I'm getting flack. How do I handle the Soros question? So she's aware. She knows where her bread is buttered. Now, you as a law enforcement officer, Garland, should be disgusted by this woman. Am I right?
No, you're not going to be right here. So let's start with George Soros. Well, if George Soros is trying to destroy society and break down all that is good in America, he failed miserably on this one. Let's start with this. Last time I checked, she was elected. He didn't pay somebody $50,000 to appoint her. He didn't walk up and say, hey, here's 50 grand. And now she was elected. However, that money influenced the election. You know, you guys just love this free speech. Money is speech. Everybody can get, billionaires can give all they want until George Soros gives 50 grand in Osceola County, Florida, gets in there. But other than that, if somebody's given $1 billion to Trump or Hillary or
let's put a bookmark.
You guys are okay with
in this, Garland, because you're the hypocrite here, not me. You're the hypocrite, not me. But let's put a bookmark on that.
So this guy, so whatever the case may be, I'm not thrilled with the whole billionaire money thing. But the bottom line was, in the end, she gets elected. Okay. How she got elected is irresponsible to me because I'm not a who person. I'm a what person. I wouldn't care if Soros gave it to her. I wouldn't care if it was George Soros, George Johnson, George Jetson. It doesn't matter to me. The bottom line is,
Garland, George Jetson's a cartoon character. He can't actually donate.
Well, I don't know. They made a lot of money. Hanna-Barbera, they could, kind of avatar themselves there. But whatever, Hanna-Barbera, I love them, man. The Flintstones, they had the best stuff. But at any rate, I digress. I got ADD. You're getting me away from the point. So here's the thing about it. Number one, I oppose the death penalty, and I don't oppose the death penalty based on whether or not someone deserves the death penalty. You can always make an argument that anyone who kills anybody deserves the death penalty. The problem I got with the death penalty always comes back to this, and that is, I know a guy who was on death row. His name is Kirk Bloodsworth, and he was in jail for 8 years and 11 months. And he didn't do it. And the fact of the matter is, there are people who are going, as long as we have the death penalty, you're going to have people who are accused of doing a crime, who are convicted of committing a crime, who didn't do it. And you're going to, every now and then, you're going to have somebody who's innocent, who is executed. And as long as that possibility exists, which is as long as we have the death penalty, I'm going to oppose the death penalty. So I'm going to be with you. I'm with you there, Lee. What a horrible crime this guy did that deserves the worst punishment we can come up with deserves this. However, I still am not going to throw out my principle that says, yeah, but is it worth doing him in to get someone else? Because she said she decided that the death penalty is broken and does not achieve justice. And now she's actually suing Rick Scott. The reason she's suing Rick Scott is because he took a bunch of her cases, like 20 cases that were possible death penalty cases, and he moved them elsewhere. And he said, we'll give them to somebody else because you won't use the death penalty. Now and she's suing.
Yeah,
so here's what I have to say about that, because I'm big on this. People always come after the ACLU for suing in court, right? And I say the ACLU can go to court and let a judge decide. Don't get mad at the ACLU for bringing something up. And here's what I say about Rick Scott. He did that, and I may not agree with it. But you know what? He did it as the governor. He made a choice, right? She's going to go to court and let the courts decide. If the courts decide that he has, if it goes up and they decide whatever the court comes up with, I'm willing to live with that. I'm not going to criticize Rick Scott for making a decision that I disapprove of, because she has an avenue in the judiciary to address that. And I believe in democracy. To me, if you believe in democracy, you got to be willing to win, but you got to be willing to lose. You got to be willing to go to court and say, hey, I believe in it. But if I lose, I lose. This is how democracy works. And I've always been willing to lose. And I want to respect democracy to the point where, I'm not just going to say when I win, democracy works. And when I lose, democracy doesn't work. So she's doing what I agree with. I may see George Soros in some ways as a supervillain myself. The left isn't crazy about George Soros. The center is. The centrists are. The Clinton people, the establishment people are.
But the left. He funds the far left.
I wish he did fund the far left.
What? Wait, no, he does.
His money's all over. I wish he did.
He does fund the far left. I don't know. What does he got to do? Does he actually have to put gift certificates in the hands of Black Bloc anarchists before they smash windows? I'm not sure what more he has to do. He spends millions and millions of dollars promoting the most far left groups.
Well, hopefully he can spend millions and millions.
Organized enough to write a grant. Here's the thing.
Hopefully he can spend millions more trying to get other people in office that will, we can get this death penalty stopped once and for all.
Well, see, and let's go back to what I said about you being a hypocrite, Kerr, because I'm not the hypocrite you are.
Well, but at least I admit to being a hypocrite. There's nothing wrong with being a hypocrite. You know, the only true person, the only true hypocrite is one that won't admit it. We as human beings are all hypocrites. We got to learn to live with that.
Good night, everybody.
That we are all hypocrites to some extent is when you're free from hypocrisy.
The thing. I'm not the one who thinks Citizens United should be overturned, and I'm not saying what George Soros is doing should be illegal. What I said was the dude's smart, and what I think he should be done is he should be exposed. And I think the people in Florida should know, and I think people around the country need to know. And by the way, I have stuff about this.
I think the ones that voted her in do actually know.
I'm going to plug my own site here. You looked at
It's a great site.
The stuff that I have on thepopulist.us, right?
And I'm a progressive, and I go to your site, and I do enjoy it. I tell you, I like your site.
Yeah, and what I do
and
is—
I'm not just saying that because I like you, Lee. I do. If your site stunk, I'd have to tell you. But it's not an unreasonable site.
Well, no, site. No, because what I try to do is I just try to lay out facts for people. I don't even do a lot of—I just say— Here's the facts, and people can look it up themselves and click the links and everything like that. But I've got all the material up there. What I'm in favor of doing is what we're doing right now, which is God bless America and the First Amendment and our ability to be able to expose this. I think the people of Florida need to be able to make an informed decision. And I think that what Soros did was valid. It was legal. I said it was smart. I wish the right would get more organized. As much as the left loves to whine about the Kochs. Oh, my God. The Kochtopus. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Koch brothers. This dude spends like 10 times, 20, 100 times more than the Koch brothers ever spend. And by the way,
they spent $889 million in 2016.
Doesn't make any difference. Not close to what Soros and let me go over it. So you got the Koch brothers. Here, I'll spot you the Koch brothers. Now let me name some other foundations. You got George Soros on the left. You got the Kellogg's Foundation. You've got the Ford Foundation. You got the John T. and Catherine D. MacArthur Foundation. You got the Gates Foundation. Let me just stop right there with those five. Now, I gave you the Kochs. Name four other big donors on the right. Go.
No. Well, here's what I'm going to say. If all of these left-wing billionaires control everything, then why are we, as a country, being dragged to the sewers by conservative policies?
You couldn't name another one.
No, I don't need to.
I know, because you can't.
Well, if they are, they sure are losing.
Because
look at this country. We're going right into the toilet with a bunch of right-wing policies. We got a bunch of people from red states who are instituting red state policies, which are taking us. But luckily,
sorry,
the red
Garland.
State policy is changing in Florida.
I'm sorry, Garland.
Thanks
we do have
Soros.
A year's supply of Rice-A-Roni for you backstage. Thanks for playing Garland Nixon. You can't name another right-wing funder. And you can't.
I don't need to.
I know you do need to, because I just named five of them off the top of my head, and there's 20 more I could name. The Levi's, but I could keep going.
And what's the point there?
My point is that there's no equivalence between the funding on the left and the right. And
I agree. The right funds way more.
You're factually mistaken. The left funds about 20 times as much.
I think we are in error. Let me tell you why. Because here's the error. I think you and I are erring. And here's why I believe.
We're both air?
We're on air. Okay. But we are both in error for this reason.
Okay.
One thing I'm careful of, that I try not to do, and I'm doing it now, and that's this. I don't ever want to get into an argument that says my billionaires are better than your billionaires. You know why? Because I feel like a pet. I don't ever want to be a pet for a bunch of people who the billionaires are getting everything and the rest of us are sending our jobs over to China. We're getting nothing. We're getting the shaft and they're getting everything. And I don't want to be one of their pets that sits around and argues at their doorstep like a guard dog protecting them while they take everything from us.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that there's a principled stand. But I got to say, the way you're sucking up, I don't think you're sucking up. You're stating your position.
No.
Your position on the death penalty, I'm surprised Soros has not funded you, Garland, for district attorney or something like that.
Can I be honest? I tried to get a Soros grant for something.
Yes.
I was too far to the left. I went in and I spoke before a board and I was too far to the left for that.
I don't know if you're too far to the left. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to break it down for you. You know what the problem is?
I'm too far to the left.
No,
I know what the problem is.
I know what the problem is, too. Let me tell you what the problem is. Your name's Nixon. They saw the grant. They're like, wait, Nixon?
No, no.
Nixon wants some money? I don't think so.
I'm too far to the
left.
That's
what they did. They just took one look at that and said no.
You guys get confused, and you think that these centrists are the left. And when you're on the left, you know.
He's not a centrist.
No, the left are not thrilled with the...
He's funded the most radical elements who are cogent enough. I know. He's funded Patrice Cullors from Black Lives Matter at the Ella Baker Foundation. I could go down the list of people that he's funded. They're on the far left. What you're saying
I'm just saying that this was a good... Well, I don't know about Lumumba or whoever, but here's what I can tell you.
Wait, if I said that, it would be the most racist thing in the world,
whoever,
by the way.
I'm just... Patrice Russian.
And you called her Lumumba?
Patrice Russian. Patrice somebody. All I can tell you is this. That this one...
Oh, my God.
This was a good one. This... He did the right thing here. He made... You know the old saying, even a stopped clock is right twice a day.
This is where I'd like to be black, Garland. Right here is where I'd like to be black. Because honestly, if I was like... If you mentioned Patrice Cullors and I said, well, Lumumba or whatever her name is.
Patrice Russian, Patrice anybody. I don't care.
Okay. Patrice Russian's a good singer. Let's leave it at that. Well, look, we'll have more to say on this, I'm sure, at a later date. Because George Soros did this in 11 different cities. But
Hooray. We
appreciate you listening. Please tell your friends about the show. We'll see you tomorrow on Fault Lines with Nixon and Stranahan.
Fault Lines.